This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Hi, and I'm Ron Milk, producer, co-host, and homeowner advocate. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, and avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and more.
Your Value of Home airs Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 64 years. Okay, Kev, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
You got it.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk. Presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you.
All right, I want to thank our listeners for coming back to another great show here in Your Value of Home. We've been jumping off the new year with a lot of great shows, Ron, and we got a replay here that I've been working with back and forth, and it's a daughter of one of our longtime people that always come on
and
the show.
Who is that?
And that's Monica Wright.
Monica Wright,
our friend Monica Wright, who's always on, her daughter, who did a fabulous job talking about her property.
Yeah.
Well, now I have her on the air to get a little bit more detail on what she's doing.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of an issue that came up that I'm working her through, but it's a good educational segment.
What's her name?
So Lee is on the air right
Lee,
now.
Lee, okay. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Lee. Well, it's Leah, but hey, how are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Thank you for doing this. This is finally nice to get somebody on that, again, a homeowner that's, again, doing their own work, but not that we're saying that, hey, we should all do it this way, but you have a great skill, and I wanted to get people on to educate them, because some people aren't going to call contractors. They're going to try to do it on their own, but maybe we can guide them also in the right way to make sure they get the right job.
Right, right. And I never really try to advise anyone to do it if they're not really capable or confident in doing it. I just do in my home what I think I'm capable and I'm confident in doing. I don't really try to do anything like electrical or plumbing or anything like that. I think that's way totally out my league, because I'm not, you know, I don't have any school background or whatever for doing it.
Now, when you bought this property, are you now thinking to expand this and go into further of more rental properties?
I don't want to go into rental properties. I don't really want to be a landlord or rent properties. I do want to acquire more properties and try to, like, flip and sell them. But I don't really want to be tied to any properties, if they make sense.
So you want to fix them up and sell them?
Yeah,
okay.
I do want to go along those lines, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have somebody to guide you in the right way in the real estate, with your mom being such a staple in the community.
Yeah, I do. My mom, she's been doing real estate for about 30 years, so that's pretty much who's guiding me along this route that I'm taking towards real estate.
And what areas of the city are you concentrating on?
So the property I have now is in West Philly. And to be honest, I'm not looking in any specific area. I guess whatever area will end up working out for me. I mean, I'm from Philly. I was raised here. So pretty much any area where I could find a house that needs to be fixed up.
Needs to be fixed up, yeah.
And I could get it for, I don't want to say cheap, but I could get it for in my price range.
Yep.
So, well, you're going to need to do that, because one thing with flipping homes today is, the market's hot, and even your mom's going to say this, so buying property, you're going to be spending a premium for it. So when you spend a premium, they're going to be a fixer-upper, then you got to spend more money into it. So you got to really watch what's your budget going into it to get it fixed to the right amount where you're going to be able to make money.
Unless you can get a house like your mom got a house where she paid just for the taxes, the back taxes on the house. I mean, that's another possibility.
That's another possibility.
Or sheriff sales or something like that.
Right.
There's another possibility.
Yeah, right. So I want to kind of go along those lines, getting a house for, like, the taxes or, you know, you can always, well, what I'm learning in real estate is that it's pretty, like, transparent. I mean, you could work out, like, different deals with the owner of a property. So, yeah, I guess I'm still learning.
Yeah, people, they're doing it a lot, but the problem they're running into when they're calling me is that they went well over their head because they didn't understand the cost they're going to go into getting the place up to code, get it up to where they can sell it so it's livable. And that's where a lot of people do get caught. So it's not the knowledge that they found a great property. When they find it, absolutely buy it. But it's that knowledge of getting into it to make sure you do it right. And by piecemealing it, it could really get you in the back end because you might have to then rip things out to go back and do it again. So that's where a lot of people today, where the homeowners get caught doing that. And again, anybody can call us here at the studio and make it a lot easier for you. But there is a lot more work into it. And I just don't expect anybody to just do it right off the bat. Know what you're doing before you get into it, because it can be a costly expense.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts to the real estate business and, you know, fixing up houses. A lot of moving parts, a lot of moving legal parts, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to consider that as well, you know. And your mom can fill you in on all that.
Yeah, because when I first started fixing up on my house and, you know, the process of getting it, I thought it was going to be easier than what it was. And it is very costly and it's hard work. And it's just like my biggest thing was staying committed and not giving up. And that's why I started to fix the property up, because I had like two different guys. They didn't know each other. It was like two separate occasions. I had them start fixing up on the house and I did something wrong that I don't think I should have did, which is, I went to Home Depot, and you know they got workers out there. So I thought maybe I could find a cheap worker, and that was a disaster. And the guy ended up kind of like gagging me. Then I had somebody else that wasn't like a licensed contractor, but I felt like they were trying to charge like professional prices. And then after that, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go on YouTube, and I'm going to figure out how to do most of the work myself. The only things that I don't mess around with is like electrical and plumbing, and I don't do any like demolition beyond like just demoing a room and taking old plaster down. I don't like try to mess with the structure or the beams of the house.
Yeah, you don't want
to
do that. Yeah.
Yeah, right, that's a good point, but you said it. You're putting the sweat equity in. And a lot of times when homeowners don't have that knowledge, yeah, it can be that way. And you know, you made a good point when you said the unlicensed contractor, because somebody was just talking about this with me a couple of days ago, and they said, why don't contractors get the license? It's $50 here in the state of Pennsylvania. I said, because now the state has a way to get their hands on you. That's why. Because if they're not very good,
they can track you down.
They can track you down, and you're done. So that's why a lot of these guys, because they're not very good. They're looking to just get some money to get ahead, not pay any taxes on it. And that's why people that have the license, they're going to be a little bit more accountable because their license is on the line. So, and they don't want to be in legal trouble. So that's why when people get a license, so that's why I always recommend going. And that's what's leading us into this segment. I know when we had talked to through Facebook, I have a lot of contacts I met through the show on Facebook. And when people put comments out, I just want to make sure that everybody hears both ends of the story. And it was one of the comments that, why don't you tell us about what situation you ran into, and then we can kind of explain back and forth, and me being as a contractor explaining on a contractor's end what we see.
Okay, so recently I had an issue where a small copper pipe in my garage, I guess it froze at some point and it split. So I had like three plumbers come out. So I believe two of them were licensed, and to be honest, I'm not sure if the third guy was licensed or not, but they both quoted me like close to $500 to replace the pipe. So it was a little frustrating because I'm like, I wasn't sure or whatever if that was the right price. And then the third guy, he only charged me like $85 to fix it. But again, like I said, I'm not sure if he was licensed or not, but I watched what he did and it got fixed. So that was a recent problem that I ran into.
Well, also, was it a thermostat? They were going to replace a thermostat also in your house?
Yeah, the first guy I asked, I never did get the thermostat replaced yet. The guy who did it for $85, he only did the pipe.
Right, the pipe. Yeah.
Right.
Because what I did, so it was like...
He was a plumber? He was a...
I think it was more of a handyman.
A handyman,
because usually...
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't want to say he was a handyman because I'm not sure a relative referred me. That's who they use. So I'm not sure if he charged me $85 because he knows my family or whatever. So I'm not... That could be a pot, right?
It's nice to know people.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. Right, exactly. So I don't want to say that he's not licensed because I'm not sure. I never did ask him. I was just so desperate to get the pipe fixed.
Right.
Before another cold day came and I needed my heaters on before, more pipes.
Yeah, absolutely.
With my heat not being on, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why I looked at when people think about it, like they're thinking, hey, it's $500 for a thermostat and that. But I kind of explain to people, look, they have overhead. They have a shop. They got to go run out and pick the thermostat. The thermostat's going to cost about $128. They're going to be there for about an hour. Then they got to go back to the shop, the gas, the overhead. And usually with thermostat, usually runs in about the $300 to $400 range. I mean, $500 usually where those big companies that do a lot of advertising, somebody's got to pay for the cost, which I don't think it should be you anyway. But that's why you try to find that balance between a good contractor, a legitimate contractor, and a homeowner, so they know where the costs are coming from.
Right, right. And well, I did appreciate the first guy that quoted me the $500. That was for it to fix the pipe and then to replace the thermostat.
It could be a little bit easier. But yeah, we're running out of time here. So thank you very much for doing this. And we'd like to get you back on. You and your mom want to do another segment of some of the properties that you have. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Your Valuable Home again.
Thank you.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. With Pergo Extreme Rigid Flooring from Tom Adams Windows and Carpet, high performance runs deep, deeper visuals, deeper protection, deeper warranty, and the widest selection of beautiful wood and stone patterns. And Pergo Extreme's warranty is worry-free for life, providing extreme dent resistance, a 100% kid and pet proof warranty, as well as a 100% waterproof warranty. For people who really live on their floors, Pergo Extreme is the worry-free solution that doesn't make you compromise. For details, go to TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
Directly, 215-364-3286.
All right, I want to thank everybody for coming back to Your Valuable Home on 1210 WPHT. Ron, and now it's the horror story.
Okay, what do we got, Kev?
So this is going to be a little bit different. So we have a guest with us right now, and he's going to chime in on the horror story, but he's going to be the feature segment in the college. So, Ron, who do we got?
We've got Mike McCann, the real estate man. Right?
You wanted to sing that for a while, didn't you? He was dying to sing that
I've been practicing that for the last 3 weeks.
Almost. Mike McCann, Mike real estate man. Okay. You need that sing.
So, Mike, the reason why I wanted to chime in is because we have it in contracting. Now it's jumping over to the real estate. So, and basically it's online referral. So one of our listeners had called in and say, listen, I wanted to tell you about a story, because I had talked about a story of somebody got burned by a realtor, and now they had called in, said they went to one of those online referral programs for real estate. Okay. And she said it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare experience. I couldn't get them on the air, but I was just trying to say, listen, I'm not much of an expert when it comes to that online referral for a realtor. I know contracting, but I said, well, give me some of the reasons why.
What was the nightmare
you used
about?
It. Well, she said it was basically, it felt like they came in, they didn't really talk to them. It was more of they just wanted to get the contract signed and sell. And she, as they call it a roll, basically what it was is She said they rolled on us by, we thought we could have got more money. And this real estate came in, they got a buyer right away, and they wanted to, it was under market. And they knew the market's hot. And they said, well, I think this is all you're going to get, so you might as well just sign now. I'm forcing them to sign at a lower price just so they can get the sale.
And well, it was they wanted to get the listing.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. There are more and more online referral systems. The only way...
You mean for real estate?
For real estate, uh-huh. Yes. There's a lot of companies, a lot of people that are doing this marketing and then trying to get clients and then send it to agents so that they get referrals. So it's, you know, internet marketing in a sense. If you're looking for a real estate agent, there's two ways. There's a personal referral, someone who you know, who's experienced with that, and more importantly, is a specialist in your area. You want to get an agent in your area that knows your marketplace.
So you mean just pushing a button is not the best way to find a real estate? But this button says they're the best.
Yeah. There are some good online referral that do the screening. They make sure they market, that they're getting two or three top agents. You always want to get competition. So if you're looking for a referral company, you want to make sure they bring in three people. And you can select who's the best. You have three people in. You'll know who's good, bad, knows the market, doesn't know the market, knows real estate, doesn't know real estate. Remember, real estate is an incredible career, but it struggles to be professional. The turnover rate is dramatic.
That it is.
Yeah. So you want to make sure you have someone who's done many transactions in that area, knows the type of buyers, knows the financing, knows the values, knows the repairs. There is so much more. Anyone can sell a property. You don't need a realtor to sell a property below market.
Well, that's what she said right from the beginning, was that the one they went with, because they said, we can get this much for your house, which is well over market price. And I said, well, what if I came in and said, listen, I can sell your $300,000 house for $8.9 million. Listen, I can do it. Why don't you just sign the contract? Well, now I got my 5% from you. And that's what they're trying to do. And that's where they felt that they were just misled by their real estate agent. I said, they're the agent working for you. So they should be doing a little bit more than just saying, hey, sign here. And the first one that comes in, let's sell.
Absolutely. That agent has a fiduciary obligation to protect and promote the client's interest. And you should not list for the highest price. That's the other thing. If I don't get a listing, I'll follow up. I'll say, hey, for my professional growth, let me know why you selected X over myself. Well, Mike, they told me they could get me more. You know,
right,
that
exactly.
is the, and then 3 months down the road, you see the price dropping down to below where I suggested.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very important to have a specialist in your area. You're selling, you want to make sure you have someone who knows the area. If you're buying, someone who knows the area, who's done many.
Let me ask you about that. If that happens to somebody and they have to drop the price probably dramatically, does that taint the property then?
It can hurt the value. If it goes, listen, your best chance to sell a home is when it initially hits the market. When it initially goes on the market, there's seasoned buyers that will come in and look at that home. A seasoned buyer is someone who hasn't found a home. And they've been looking and looking. And then as the new ones show up on the hot sheet or on their matches, whatever sites they're using, they're going to come in and look at it. Those are the people that determine the value.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're overpriced, they're going to say, they're crazy. It's overpriced. I'll wait. And if you keep it, so sometimes we can list a property. We have it up a couple weeks. We're getting a bunch of showings, no offers, too high. We'll adjust it right away. That won't really hurt the value too much, but if you're grossly overpriced and then you hold off on reducing the price, it will adversely affect the market value big time.
Well, and it'll push you out too in terms of days.
Oh, yeah. Wait longer. And then at a certain point, people say, why has it been on the market so long? So you're in a much weaker
position. Yeah, the thing is, there's problems with the house because somebody's going to be looking at it and saying, if there's a problem, nobody's putting a bid on it. There's got to be a reason.
There's got to be a problem.
That days on the market always throws me off when you see 30, 40, 50 days with the market being so hot now, there's got to be a problem.
The market's more than that today. I mean, the market is good, but it's not what it was in 16 and 17. The days on the market have extended.
Seriously?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, sales in the city were approximately volume down about 16% from last year.
Really?
Prices are not down.
Right.
The beauty, well, the you could call it beauty and bad thing, what hurt the number of transactions are a limited number of inventory. And that's why prices have not gone down also, is because the selection in a softer market, normally the inventory starts to grow And then the people that need to sell start to drop their prices. What's happened is we've had a little bit of a slower market. Still a great market historically, but not what it was. In 16 and 17, we'd put them up, have multiple bids in a day or two or three. Those days are gone. Although it's so funny, these last two, 3 weeks, we've been all of a sudden, my open houses were incredible this weekend. So we're actually going to have a good spring right now, I can tell you that. But the fall was just okay. Historically, it's a good market, but most people were compared to how it was in 16 and 17, and we're not in that market now.
Yeah, well, this horror story that we led into was it just felt that they were rushed, and they said they just didn't feel comfortable with it. And I was asking them, well, why did you go with the online? Because everybody wants online everything.
Yeah.
Contractors, real estate, anything you get your hands on, they just want to be able to push a button. And I said, well, why don't you go and get a few more other realtors and interview at least a little bit of them to understand what they were going to be offering. Because somebody's offering 20, 30% more than you think that value is going to be. Something's going to be wrong there where two other ones are going to come in about that market where you feel. But I think you should be a little bit more comfortable with the real estate person that you're dealing with instead of just pushing a button.
Real estate is a personal relationship. Believe me, three most stressful things: death, divorce, and buying and selling a home. And your realtor is like your doctor or like your lawyer. You have to trust, feel confident, and take their direction.
You better believe it. That's why we called this show Your Valuable Home, because for most people, whether you're in an upper income bracket or middle income bracket, wherever you are, it's one of the most valuable assets you have. So you're entrusting that person, like you,
okay, absolutely,
to take care of that and preserve the value in that asset when you sell it. So it's an important decision.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't want to go online and pick somebody out.
Well, that's what you said, like with contractors and real estate and doctors. I mean, it does. It gets to be more difficult. We just sold my mother's house, and we had a darn of a problem. It was tough. And it was a lot of stress on my mom to go through what she did. And I told her it was going to be this way, but it was the same situation. It was a very bad experience for her. And like I said, feeling like a doctor, we felt like it was a proctologist that came in and did some damage. But that's what we want to be able to do, is educate people on why they're going to use the right realtor contractor through what we're talking about in the horror story.
There's one magical word today: Google. Google for reviews. I mean, go online. You know, who's the best person selling in Center City, or who's the best person? And look at people's reviews. And if they don't have reviews, it means they're not selling. So Google's a big way, but then developing the relationship is key importance.
So why don't we get into that when we get into the college? Mike, we're going to take a little break here and talk a little bit more about the details of real estate. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Your Valuable Home on 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. With Pergo Extreme Rigid Flooring from Tom Adams Windows and Carpet, high performance runs deep. Deeper visuals, deeper protection, deeper warranty, and the widest selection of beautiful wood and stone patterns. And Pergo Extreme's warranty is worry-free for life, providing extreme dent resistance, a 100% kid and pet-proof warranty, as well as a 100% waterproof warranty. For people who really live on their floors, Pergo Extreme is the worry-free solution that doesn't make you compromise. For details, go to TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
All right, thanks for coming back to Your Valuable Home here. Now, we're going to still be going a little bit more into real estate, and it's time for the college, and we're going to get a lot of detail. And what do we got?
And we're back here. Let me see if I can do it this time. Mike McCann, the real estate man, almost, huh?
Very good.
Nah. Maybe an 85 on that one?
Mike McCann!
Mike McCann!
But I know we wanted to get a little bit more into the real estate because people need to be educated. And I tell you, I know we talked about the horror story. People think they can push a button and get that great, great realtor. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, let's talk about Philly real estate now, because you're the king of Philadelphia real estate, right?
Well, that's what I do, 33 years.
The prince of Philadelphia. Okay. All right. All you got to do is drive around Philly today, and you get the sense that the real estate market here is really rocking, right?
Absolutely. Very healthy.
Okay. But how is the Philly market for young families, seniors, residential real estate investors? There are three different groups there. If you can address those three for us, okay? Is it a buyer's market, or does it favor sellers?
Okay.
And let's educate us. And now I want to talk about Philly as it relates to New York and what's happening in New York.
Surely.
Okay.
It's a pretty balanced market. It's not what it was in 16 or 17, where the market was insane and the homes were going 10, 20, 30,000 over asking price. It's a healthy market. Interest rates are very low, which makes it affordable for the buyers. So that's good. values are still going up, not what they were, but they're 1-5%. Yeah, they're still going up, but we saw years of 8 or 10%. It's a seller's market because there's not much inventory on the market. The biggest problem today, what held sales down in 2018 or 2019, was the lack of inventory. So people are staying longer in their homes, and so there's less property on the market. So it is a pretty balanced market, I would say. If I have a young child, mm-hmm. Or a young adult child, say, buy a home. It's an excellent time to buy. Low interest rates, values are still going up. The city is very positive for homeowners. And as far as elderly people, if they want to sell a home, it's a good time to sell a home.
How about elderly people? I'm an elderly people. elderly people who want to move to the city? They've been in the burbs. They did the whole thing in the burbs. They want to move back to the city so they can walk around and go to the deli or whatever they want to do.
I've been seeing that for a decade and a half now, and it will make you 10 years younger. It's funny. I see people who've been out in the suburbs their whole life, and then I see them on the street 6 months after they bought in town, and they've been walking around. They're not commuting in their car. They're meeting friends at a coffee shop or a club. So there's a lot of people from South Jersey, from the Main Line, from Bucks County, from Delaware County that live there their whole life, raise their children. Their children are gone, and they're moving in town. They're downsizing, and they're doing that for lifestyle. It's a lifestyle move. That's a good market. I mean, that is a good market. They can't get what they're used to. Like, so they want less space, but in town, everything's vertical unless you're going in a condominium.
Right.
And there's not that many 3-bedroom condominiums. So what they're surprised at, it's kind of hard to find what you feel comfortable with. So it takes them a little bit longer to acclimate to living in the city. Some of them are moving in for a year and renting and seeing how they like it.
How about, and I have friends who are doing exactly that. Yeah. They're in the St. James.
Yes, yes. Okay. Love the St. James.
Yeah, oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous place.
Great location.
Too. Great location. What about young families? Is Philly still affordable to young families?
You have to be in the top 10% if you want to be in Center City proper. Mm-hmm. But the one beauty, unlike any time in my 33 years in the business, these last 10, 12 years, the neighborhoods around Center City have expanded dramatically. You know, from Pennsport, East Passyunk Square, Point Breeze, Kensington, Fishtown, Art Museum, West Philadelphia. So it's expanding, and the difference, these millennials are trying to make the schools better. So some of the schools that weren't good are getting better. You have magnet schools. It is very expensive if your school's not good, if you have to send them to private school or find a charter school.
Yeah.
And that's where we historically do lose a lot of people. But I'm seeing schools that weren't great 5 or 10 years ago with committed adults. It's funny, every settlement, because the biggest segment of sales in our marketplace are the millennial buyers. And normally it's a single female, single male, or a couple. They don't have the child yet. But then they're going to have a child. And then after that child's 4 or 5, are they going to stay or are they going to move? But at settlement, I tell them all, your generation is 10 million bigger than us baby boomers. You need to take that energy and focus on the schools. Because if we can make the schools good, man.
You got a deal. You got a deal.
Real estate's going to skyrocket at that point.
Skyrocket.
So talk to us now about resident, because Kevin and I are both in this category, residential real estate investors.
Yes.
In Philly.
Yes. There are many, many, many real estate investors. Everybody's a real estate investor. The reality of it is I tell people, if you want to invest in real estate, it's for long term. There are periods of time where you could buy something in 2 years, 3 years later, sell it for 30, 40% more. But historically, the best thing to have real estate is to hold it for that 15, 20, 25 years, because it'll go up 200, 300, 400%. So you have a couple different types. And then you have people that want to buy a property, tear it down or rehab it and resell it. That's a strong market, but there's so much demand. There's so much competition. You have to have the whole package. You can't just have money. You have to know the market, which a lot of times is a good, strong realtor. You have to have a great contractor. You have to know how to deal with the city for the tax abatement, for the permits. So there's a whole lot involved versus a passive investor who a lot of my young people, the way that I built wealth is by buying single homes. And I would buy single homes in blue-collar neighborhoods that were steadily going up, not rapid fire, but steadily going up, cleaning them up, renting them out, having that tenant in there for 5-10 years, and then keeping that, and then watching the values in the neighborhoods change. That's a safe way versus trying to spend $1 million and buy a building that doesn't make sense. Because if you want center city proper, you're going to have negative cash flow unless you're putting a lot of money
down.
So it's very hard to find. Everybody wants to invest, but the reality of it is it's very hard to find what works. But if you're long-term, you cannot go wrong. I mean, the stuff I bought in the 80s collapsed in the 90s, but I didn't sell it. And then by the 2000s, it went up. And then by 06 or 07, it was worth 400, 500% more. And I'd held that for 15, 18 years. So long-term is the best bet. And I made a lot of people wealthy holding their real estate. And I have some of them now that I sold 20 years ago that are selling now. Like, I can't believe, Mike, I paid $40,000 and we're selling for $280,000. I mean, it's been paid off, too.
That's a good deal.
You know,
that's
a good deal. So long and steady is what I like. Unless you're a contractor and you're rehabbing, then it's, you know, everybody's trying to get off-market deals, because once it hits the market, there's realtors, there's a million investors that are all over that property. So it's a great business, but it's hard to, you have to spend a lot of time.
So what are the hottest areas of the city right now, Mike?
It's funny. There's really not everyone that lives. If I live in Passyunk Square, I think that's the hottest area. If I live in Fishtown, I think that's the hottest area. Everyone in their Point Breeze thinks the hottest. Almost all of the neighborhoods are very strong right now. The question is if you're buying investment real estate, am I buying in at the peak of the market, or is there more room for growth? So the areas where I see, and a lot of my clients. Yes, I have very wealthy clients, but a lot of my clients that I love to build wealth with are younger people that are just starting out in their first investment or two. So I have them buy in almost anywhere in South Philadelphia, but you know, Penns Porter, Passyunk Square, Point Breeze. But now we're moving to Grace Ferry area. Also on the other side into Kensington.
Yeah, that's near and dear to my heart. Yes. I have a place there.
Yes, Port Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Fishtown's, you know, pretty peaked already. Brewerytown, and I'm seeing with the expansion of the universities and the medical hospitals, I'm seeing West Philadelphia really expand.
That's always got. I mean, the labor market's always going to be there in West Philly.
Yes, you know? Yes, but it's expanded. It has just expanded. So almost all of the neighbors. I always tell everybody, if you're buying a property, just walk up and down the street, take a look at. Are the people taking care of the homes, you know? And then sometimes the blocks are kind of still some rundown homes. We buy a property, fix it up. Someone else buys one then. We clean the streets. We put some flags. We put some trees out there. And then 2-3 years later, you come back and that block is beautiful. I love that.
But that's interesting you make that point, because we've had people on the show. We've talked about this many, many times. If you want to improve the value of your home, another way to do it is to improve the value and the appeal of your community.
Absolutely, without question. One of my pet peeves, especially when I moved it downtown in 82. I mean, we called it Philadelphia. It was dirty. Now the streets are so much cleaner. But one of my pet peeves, I used to clean the street. If we're fixing up in an area that's still in transition, there's some vacant houses, a street there, I'll have my contractors clean the street. I'll put flags, American flags on the telephone poles. I put trees in front of the house. We put shutters and flower boxes out front. And then other people are like, oh, can your guy do that for me? And you start to see the transition in the block.
Well, that would also appreciate the value of all the homes in the area there.
That's the point. And you want people to feel good.
All right. Before we go to the break, if we can get this in, what are the next hot areas in Philly?
Again, it depends on what you're doing. We're selling 1.5 million homes in Northern Liberties if you're a builder. If you're a small long-term investor right now, I would be into Port Richmond, parts of Kensington. I would be into, if I can find some Point Breeze, I would be into, Grace Ferry, and Brewerytown. So
what about going north? Does that involve Bridesburg and Mayfair?
I'm not sure about Mayfair. It's really removed, but, I am starting to hear a little bit about Bridesburg also,
okay.
Because Fishtown's happened to Northern Liberty has just gotten so hot. And for years, you know, for years we were waiting for those areas to come up. But once Frankfort Avenue came up and then they could do live, they had all types of all the art studios, the coffee shops, the restaurants there.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit different. Yeah. I do have a question for you. So why don't we take a break here and then we'll get right back.
Got to go to a commercial.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Your Valuable Home on 1210 WPHT Philadelphia.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. With Pergo Extreme Rigid Flooring from Tom Adams Windows and Carpet, high performance runs deep. Deeper visuals, deeper protection, deeper warranty, and the widest selection of beautiful wood and stone patterns. And Pergo Extreme's warranty is worry-free for life, providing extreme dent resistance, a 100% kid and pet-proof warranty, as well as a 100% waterproof warranty. For people who really live on their floors, Pergo Extreme is the worry-free solution that doesn't make you compromise. For details, go to TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
If you're starting a home project, let Your Valuable Home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and we've got with us Mr. Philadelphia Real Estate, Mike McCann, the real estate man.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Woohoo! Okay.
Brian, you do that very, very well when you say that. It's McCann. You got to get into it as you go.
All right, you got a question. Yeah, I want to get into question. New York then. Okay.
So, BB had a contractor and a residential real estate investor. When I was looking at my property on South Broad, I wanted to make sure that a couple things. This is what I thought. And again, you let me know since you're the expert. I wanted to have transportation. So I'm a half a block away from the train, a hot area right at that Pass Young Square there. And I felt that if I kept going further away, street to street to street, the rent money is not going to be as good. So I was looking at that hot spot. I knew I had to spend a little bit more money to get that rent per month. Is that something you recommend to your clients that come in to talk to you about that, saying, hey, listen, I can only afford this much, but what is my return on the investment per month, my rent I'm going to be able to receive?
Yes. Yeah. The one thing typically, I mean, where you bought on Broad Street, I mean, it's a great area. The millennials love, they want to be carless. They're using Uber. Transportation is big. That's why, we never took the L. You know, now you could go down into Kensington, people are taking the L, close to the L. So that's really good. What I always try to do is make sure that the rents will cover the mortgage and then a little bit. I tell people to invest in real estate, you buy it, you put some money into it, so it enhances the value. So just say I paid $200 and I put $40 into it. I want to make sure that when I'm done, that probably should be worth $280. And then I want to make sure the rents that I'm going to get are going to more than cover my mortgage. But I'm not going to use that money to live off of, because that you'll never find anything that works like that. As long as it's paying for it and then a little bit of extra, and then over time, the appreciation will go up. So yes, knowing what it will rent for, knowing how to clean it up so you get the proper rents, because there's the millennials are very, that's who the biggest market is. I keep mentioning millennials.
Millennials, yeah.
Yes. We rent to families, we rent to elderly people, but the millennials, all these young people that are coming in with great energy between, 24 and 35, I mean, that's who's renting. So you have to appeal to that market. They like things nice. Doesn't have to be super fancy, but nice. And as long as it's going to carry itself and then some. And that's what I tell people. Try to get a short mortgage, 15-year mortgage. The rents carry itself. Make a couple hundred bucks a month positive. And then in 15 years, that's paid off. and you have tons of equity in the property.
And you're still getting rent money every year.
And you're still getting rent money, and you could sell it if you wanted to.
Yeah, I got millennials. I buy into that 120%. I've got them in both of my places, and they're both couples. They're great tenants.
Yeah.
Super tenants. They keep the place nice and all that stuff. Let's talk about something else, Hal. You know as well as I that the market in New York is starting to slide backwards now, right? Especially the high-end market in the boroughs, in Manhattan, every place. What's happening in Philadelphia? What is ahead for Philadelphia? Is there going to be a backlash from New York?
Well, it's funny because, you know, a year ago, New York was booming rapid. And then about 6 months, I started to hear, oh, my God, a property that was worth 1.8 is now worth 1.4. So Manhattan has softened big time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just completely changed overnight. The problem with that is Philly is normally a little bit behind California, Manhattan, some other places. And when I see things happening in those marketplaces, I always tell my agents, guys, or my clients, 6 months, a year from now, that's going to be us. So if it's a good thing, that's going to happen. If it's a bad thing, that's going to happen. We have seen, especially in the condominium market, the higher end condominium, we've seen softness. There's no question about it. At one point there were 5 quarters of downturn in condominium sales. So we've seen softness in the market. Again, the thing that I'm optimistic about, listen, if you talked to me a year and a half ago, I would have said 2020 is going to be bad because rates were supposed to go up really high. A recession was supposed to happen. But with low inventory and rates that are very low, about 3.5% right now, and they're going to hover 3.5 to 4%. They're not going to change anytime soon. I feel stability in our market. Philly goes up, but it doesn't go up like other places. Phily goes down, but it doesn't go down like other places.
New York can go, right through the floor.
Yes. So cautiously optimistic.
Let me ask you a question about one of the reasons that I came to Philly, because I was looking in Bucks County. I do have a place in Bucks County, too.
Okay.
Was because of the tax abatement on a new building. Okay.
Yes.
They're starting to wind down now. Some of the early ones are starting to wind down. What happens when that happens?
Yeah, it's funny. So there was a 10-year tax abatement, which doesn't mean taxes went away.
Right.
People misconceived that. It meant that the taxes stay where they are for 10 years. You're not taxed on the improvements. Great selling tool. So many people, especially the millennials and the empty nesters, I want something with a 10-year tax abatement. I've seen so many people that are 7, 8 years into the tax abatement that say, hey, my taxes are going to be $12,000. My taxes are going to be $15,000. I want to sell now before the tax abatement. It will, if you're looking at a home with an abatement and one without, big difference, big change. They did just change. We fought it, meaning the Board of Realtors and the building industry and a bunch of people fought the misconception that people had about the tax abatement. They wanted it to go away. And prior to the tax abatement, there was a 3-year tax abatement in 97, and then they changed it in about 2000 to a 10-year. I never sold a new construction 15 years in the business. Now, probably 30-40% of my business is either a condominium or new home or rehab properties with the 10-year tax abatement.
With the 10-year tax.
So we fought. We got a compromise. Thank goodness we have Alan Dom in the council that has helped a lot of things, and hopefully he'll be mayor one day. But at the end of 2020, the abatement's going to be 10 years. The next year, it's going to go down 10% each year. 10% each year. Mm-hmm. So right now, for 10 years, you have 100% tax abatement. The second year, it'll be a 90. The third year, it'll be an 80. That, to me, that's still okay. I can still live with that.
Yeah, you can live with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got 3.5 years left on mine yet.
Yeah, so it's, but your tax, it's going to be $300, $400 a month more. It's a big difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As those tax abatements expire, this is what kills me. The ones that came in 18 and they expired, I mean, in 08 and expired in 18, continued revenue that they are bringing into the city's treasurer is unbelievable. And if they had not had that tax abatement, it wouldn't be there. People don't realize it's not a one-time shot. Once that abatement expires, it's every year. That abatement has changed the city. It's the only government program I've ever seen that really worked, man.
Well, it's responsible for the explosion in all the construction.
The construction industry, the mortgage industry, the real estate industry, the furniture, everything. I mean, it's...
Is there anything else going on in Philly government that will impact the real estate business here?
We've had a major tax increase in 14, then we had another one in 17. We just had a reassessment. Taxes are a big problem. People get disgusted. The problem is sometimes it'll go up 100%. It's not like it goes up 10%. Your taxes, so taxes are the biggest problem, and schools.
And schools.
And keep crime, you know, keep the streets clean and crime. I mean, those three are the major impact.
All right. We're winding down here, but this has been Real Estate 101, 102, and 103. All in
we
one
still need
fell
4, 5,
here.
And 6 right now.
Exactly. We can talk for hours.
Yeah, we'll have you back on the show.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mike, thank you for spending time with your valuable home. We do appreciate it. And, it's a good education to hear from experts in the area. So we do appreciate your time here at Your Valuable Home.
I love 1210.
We all do. And we want to thank you for listening. This has been a great show with Mike, and
thank you.
It's all about education. That's what we do.
All right. Thanks again, listeners.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.